Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Nerdcast, Season 4, Episode 3. Yeah,
Bob was counting on his fingers.
I was counting on his fingers, yeah. So as you can tell, Adam, Bob, and Aaron are here. Once again, Tyler has forsaken us. And no replacement from Laura this time. It was last minute, so we weren't able to get the better Tyler to replace Tyler, unfortunately. So we'll make do without them. Somebody will just have to be extra rude tonight to replace Tyler.
Dibs.
Okay. Adam called that one. So it is another great episode, and I'm calling it great even though we just got started. Accidentally
used that adjective. So far, so good.
Haven't stumbled yet.
Yeah. Running with it, even though it was an accident that I used that adjective. Basically, another great season, I guess, is a better way to put it. We've had a solid first two episodes. A lot of listeners, so thank you all for tuning in.
Thanks.
Quite a bit of randomness. Plenty of ums from me as well, even though I hate that. But quite a bit of randomness, which doesn't seem to displease
too many. It's not so random. I mean, we end up weird places. But when you, I mean,
if
the conversation
to,
makes
chart it
sense,
down.
Right? Yeah, okay. you could see the
even
patterns.
Even when we're random, we're good.
Oh, I like where Bob's going with that, though. So, right before we got started, Bob said, "What are we going to talk about?" We said, "We're just gonna wing it tonight," and here we are. Gonna catch those us. New York Comic Con was this past weekend.
Yeah.
None of us were there.
No.
I
was there.
151,000?
They are now.
That's a big number.
Here's the news. They are now the largest comic convention in the world. Surpassed San Diego Comic Con this
Congrats.
Year.
Congrats.
Wow.
New York.
Way to go, New York.
Well done, Reed Pop. And on top of that, no complaints.
Glowing reviews.
Yeah. No
nobody's.
Complaints like you have for San Diego. No. So for those, we're not, like I said, we haven't been to New York, but. We're very familiar with C2E2, which is also a Reed Pop show.
Yeah.
And they have
a phenomenal Reed Pop
very
show.
Well organized show. And I'm assuming that can only be reflected in New York as well.
You would think so. You'd hope so, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't heard anything negative.
Well, one of our syndicated podcasts, League of Geeks, released their New York Comic Con special on Monday. You can find it on our website in our podcast section. Of course, Deddy Cosplay was there associated with Project Nerd. By then, maybe we'll see some photos. We don't know. And essentially, a number of other people we know were there. So us getting jealous while we've appeared on Facebook all weekend. It's terrible.
That was tough.
I hate that.
That was actually tough.
It's
painful.
Crazy about getting to San Diego next year. I really think New York needs to be the target, though.
Yeah.
It's not only bigger, it's better organized, so less standing in lines.
And we have a place to stay.
And we know a lot more people there, too. So, it's great.
I would much rather prefer to go to New York.
And you're in New York City.
Yeah.
Nothing against San Diego.
Whoa.
San Diego's
food is going to be better.
Beautiful, but it's New York City, dude. Like a weekend in New York City with 151,000 other geeks. What's wrong about that?
Yeah. Wasn't there an issue with the tickets this for New York?
Well, with the pre-ordering, but we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
The advantage. It was the pre-orders went very quickly, and that issue has since been quieted because look at the numbers that turned out.
Yeah,
was a lot of disbelief that the tickets would have gone that quickly. But look at the year. Look at not only New York Comic Con, look at the numbers everywhere for conventions. We're talking how many shows, I mean, you can't even fit them on one hand anymore that break the 75,000 mark. I mean, you have two separate shows in Salt Lake City, both of them breaking that number, over 80,000. You have Denver Comic Con over 85,000. You have C2E2 over 85,000. You have both. You have a PAX, your PAX
Drag
West.
Con.
Well, PAX West. Well, DragCon, they count their numbers a little differently, too. So they were in the high 60s, mid 60s.
Okay.
So it was still close, though.
Yeah.
But that's not to mention that they said they had almost 90,000 people turn out for the parade.
Well, how many people just show up at those hotels without passes?
Yeah. That's for sure.
Hey, I'm here, by the way.
Of course, we said PAX in Seattle, New York, San Diego, all over the 100,000 mark. Dallas has moved into a larger facility to accommodate their show.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City set a record for the biggest venue, biggest event in that
biggest
Barno Hall.
Right, biggest indoor event.
Yeah,
In Kansas City.
So
that includes the Big 12 tournament.
That was going on that
a
same
ton
weekend.
Of other stuff, right?
I mean, we're not even, we're just on the tip. We're just on the stuff that we're really familiar with.
Just the tip.
just the tip, and just we're just talking about how it feels,
right?
And there's, you know, there's tons of people going out to these conventions. So I think the whole point there was mentioning the ticket sales is, of course, that I mean, it's just, I don't think there was an issue with their system. I think tickets just sold that fast.
Not really.
It seems completely logical when you look at it now.
Oh, yeah, no. And everybody definitely freaked out. And I was the same way. I was like, oh, man, New York's killing themselves. Look at what they're having issues with tickets. And then, no, okay, they're probably all right, actually. They probably sold that many tickets. Okay.
And the big concern was is San Diego makes it much harder for you to get tickets. And the reason that is because they limit the quantities you can get. So you have to be pre-signed up. You get first advantage if you've been there before. You're a trusted source. You can only order so many tickets. So if you want to go with a large group of friends, a number of you have to get into the system, order so many tickets. It's very difficult.
You have to jump through a lot of hoops.
Exactly. You have to do it for press for them, too. But New York doesn't have those limitations. So the question was, scalpers just bought up large quantities.
Mm-hmm.
They did a good job of pointing out, ReedPop did a really good job of pointing out, hey, look at how many tickets are available from scalpers online compared to how many we've sold. It's less than, well, I think, I can't remember the exact percentage he said, but it was somewhere in the 2 to 3% range. He's like, if we just let all these get picked up by a few scalpers, obviously we're not working the percentages right.
Well, I mean, any major sporting event, like, look at any NFL stadium that holds 75,000 people and look at how many of those tickets end up on StubHub or...
More than New York.
Yeah, more than 2 or 3% for sure. So I feel like they're doing a pretty good job with a ticket that for an annual type of thing that's one time a year for 3 or 4 days, they did an amazing job, I think.
I don't know if this is frowned upon now or something, those third-party ticket systems, but I don't remember the last time I've been to a baseball game where I didn't just have my choice of where I wanted tickets based on one of those third party. They're limited with, is it StubHub? Is MLB only uses one?
Yeah, I think it's StubHub.
Is it StubHub also? There's the sport. They've gotten really smart about it. Sports keeping it to one to avoid duplicates and problems with that. But you can, I mean, you can go to any sports team pretty much any night of the year and pick upper level, lower level, what section you want. There's at least a handful of seats in every, I don't want to say section, but in every
price
zone.
Range. Yeah,
price range is a good way to put it. So, yeah, New York Comic Con, big show. I do have to shout out to a couple people we know and love and that have been a big part of Project Nerd or Project Nerd happenings in the past. Of course, Mr. Michael Nightmage Wilson.
Oh, God, yeah.
Rocking his costumes there. But he had a great time with Mr. McFarlane. So Todd McFarlane, the creator of Spawn. And he was in Spawn when he met him, so well played. I didn't get to watch the video, unfortunately. I was in the middle of something when I saw him post it, so I didn't see what Todd McFarlane, because he asked McFarlane, what Spawn do I build next? Did anybody see
that?
Yeah. Did you watched it?
I watched it. I can't remember what he said.
Okay. We'll have to check it out again and post it with it. Deddy Cosplay, I think the most impressive costume we have seen from Team Deddy Cosplay. John and Jessica doing work with a massive. He was on stilts and everything.
Oh yeah.
So
I did not. I haven't
the
seen
the Sauron.
You haven't seen.
You haven't seen the
really
Let's
good.
Get this man a phone right now.
Yeah. The Sauron. Yeah.
That, get the Sauron.
He was pictures with Jason Mewes himself. You know,
wow.
Even the Jason Mewes like tiled image.
Yeah, the collage that he put together.
It had that picture with it. It was an impressive build. It definitely was. A lot going on. I know John had a lot of other commitments leading up to it, so we didn't get to see the Iron Man Red Ranger combo or anything like that. But they put their time and effort into that and made it a hit. And I think, like I said, the best costume Team Deddy Cosplay has put together for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a good one.
I mean, it's just incredibly impressive. Like, to be able to pull that costume off, that's just ridiculous.
I gotta step my game up for my first costume next year now.
All right, I'm gonna show Bob the picture of the Sauron.
Ooh, we get a live reaction. His head exploded, everybody.
Wow.
His head exploded.
That is impressive.
Bob is no longer with us. His head has exploded.
That is great.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
I still can't even believe the picture with Jason Mewes. That's like Jeez Louise.
I said, John, this is the time now that I can actually say I've been jealous of you at a moment. Jason Mewes there.
Yeah.
A lot of great stuff out of New York Comic Con. Big news, we are obviously a press partner with IDW Publishing. They just news left and right. We have a good relationship with Big Dog Inc., and they announced their new deal with Aspen Comics. They're now an imprint of Aspen Comics starting 2015. Devil's Due was present with a lot of big news there and a lot of information that they'll be sharing with Project Nerd. Tons of stuff, not to mention that Marvel dropped their new announcement, which we'll cover a little bit more on because it did seem... I'm gonna have to agree with our CBG admin, our Comic Book Geeks admin at Galo, that it was a little underwhelming for Marvel's big news in New York. I mean, that's the thing is Marvel and DC, I think, they put it all out there in San Diego, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, holy crap, we got a bigger
show.
The
whole second half of the year, right, yeah.
They spent their wad.
Well, it seems like, and, you know.
A lot of sexual references tonight, by the way.
Well, that'll happen.
And we're only like 10 minutes.
And Tyler's not even here.
I know. Okay, sorry, Adam.
No. Marvel and DC just seem like, not that they don't care anymore. That's the wrong thing. That's not what I mean, but it almost seems that way when they're like, we're going to do what we want to do, and you're going to like it.
They don't.
Or you're going to have to deal with it at the very least. Like
maybe a better way to put it is because they are definitely pleasing fans entertainment value. However, they're not going out of their way to put on a huge show at the convention.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of like
the way.
They just, hey, here's our stuff.
They feel they don't need to.
Okay, thanks.
And people are going to come to it, and they're going to go see it anyway.
And Marvel's dropping the money. They work with a great... publicity firm.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of our friends work for that. They're going all across the country doing great promotions for them. They just set up a booth, usually have a stage with just a specific Marvel cosplay contest with information there, a couple artists and stuff. But yeah, not a lot of huge announcements. They held it all for San Diego. They are that same, of course, company is the one putting together Atlantic City Boardwalk Con that opens up next year. But no, DC really not a huge presence at these shows.
No,
at all.
Well, it's back to Marvel versus DC, and Marvel's like, "Hey, we got our act together," and DC's like, "Hey, we're doing some stuff, but it might all go together. We don't really know."
It seems that way. It's a bit depressing as a person who favors DC of those two. I would say it's depressing that Marvel is just hammering them out in the movie industry and the every aspect.
Well, and it seems like not even Dark Horse is, like, they don't have a whole lot going on right now. Like, even those secondary DC publishers that do some of the bigger titles you don't hear about them as much anymore as you used to.
Do you think that's because people don't, like, it's just not mainstream enough? People don't care about it? Like, you know, Watchmen came out and it's like, oh, I guess that's not Dark Horse. That's Vertigo.
That's DC. But yeah. I think actually the reason is, to kind of dispute that a little, I think that it's been so long in the industry that your big publishers have been your big publishers.
Yeah.
You haven't, since the 90s, you haven't seen much shifting in your top 5 to 10 publishers. These are the big publishers. Mm-hmm. You have Marvel, you have DC, and then you take a significant drop to get to the companies like Image Comics, IDW, Dark Horse, Zenoscope, those ones, and then it's a significant drop before you get into those other somewhat national labels, and then you go to the indies. The problem is, and we've had this conversation now considerably online and in, you know, within the group, it's these indie publishers have ways to market that they've never had before.
Yeah.
These smaller companies are eating those titles up and sending them out. And it's creating, I think, a lot more interest in these companies. And to be honest, I mean, you're never Dark Horse, IDW, Marvel, Disney. Marvel/Disney, DC, all them. They're not going to disappear. However, they're getting more competition than they've had in the past.
Well, that's an interesting idea. So digital versus print is kind of where that jumping off
that
point.
Because
now you can get into amazing production value and international distribution by getting on, you know, releasing through the Kindle store or iBooks or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, there's all those digital things, and with iPads and smartphones even would be a little bit tougher, but with iPads and tablets and Kindles and all that kind of stuff, you can read a lot of comics and you can get access to a whole lot more for, you know, $2. I can go online, sitting in my house, hop on my Kindle, $2 later, I've got a comic that I would have never had the chance to read unless I went to three or four different comic shops, which for me would be 2 or 3 hours worth of driving probably to get to three or four different ones.
Oh, and it's changed the review game too.
Yeah.
A studio can just open it up to a company like us and just say, here's our new titles digitally, put a watermark on them to make sure they're not being, you know, easily distributed and call it good. 'Cause they're not out. I didn't have to send you a physical copy of anything to get coverage on my title now. So for hardly any cost to me, the cost of keeping a site updated with, you know, an FTP site full of information, here is a digital copy to where you're going to link to our product for people to buy and review it. I mean, that's a pretty good deal
that's
on that part
too.
Yeah. I don't know. We haven't talked enough comics in the past, so it's good that we are opening with this conversation here. Of course, keeping with that Marvel DC talk, anybody see the image floating around? It'll be Monday, but today for us while we're recording, Ben Affleck rocking his Batfleck shirt.
The Batfleck shirt?
Yeah. I did see that.
Is it real?
Yeah, 100% real.
100% real.
Yeah.
Because I just looked at it and was like, that's not
No, it's
real.
Good job, Ben.
Yes.
Good job,
Ben.
He's getting the joke. Yeah.
If I was Ben Affleck, I would have a closet full of those, is what people were
saying. Oh, yeah. I'd wear it everywhere.
That's to me, though, there's no secret that there is a pushback on him being Batman. Mm-hmm. And he's embraced it. His friends have embraced it. His former friends, Kevin Smith, have embraced it. I mean,
when was the last time a Batman was cast that everybody bought immediately?
Well, Batman Returns. the sequels for Christian Bale or the sequel for Michael Keaton,
right? But they weren't
a new casting,
right? Right, yeah, a first movie for Batman, right? A first movie for an actor who was going to play Batman that everybody was like, "Oh, that guy's going to be amazing." It wasn't Michael Keaton.
I don't feel like a lot of people were against Val Kilmer being Batman.
Yeah,
Val Kilmer was the right spot at the right time. Now you went from Burton to Shoemaker.
Horrible movie.
Not as bad as Batman or Robin. But you went from Burton to Shoemaker. That kind of killed it there. However, Kilmer himself, I don't remember any, and I mean, I was younger, but at the same time, even when I look back, and you still see a lot of people who are like, who would have thought Michael Keaton would have been a great bat? You know, he has that Neo effect. That link.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Keaton is Batman, just like Keanu Reeves is Neo. But when you're talking about cast, you're like, really, really. And when you look back there, it's not that big of a deal. Val Kilmer, I don't feel like there was that big pushback. George Clooney probably wasn't that big of a, you know, to be honest. The two worst Batmans probably had zero pushback.
Yeah. Right.
It's because
they were big names.
They were the heartthrob type, Bruce Wayne type figures
at
that time.
Yeah.
But you don't have to cast Bruce Wayne. You need to cast Batman
and
then hope that guy can play Bruce Wayne.
Suit.
Right.
If he can act, he can pull off Bruce Wayne.
Right.
You got to play. If you're a Hollywood person, you can be Bruce Wayne. You got to be a rich prick. You can handle
right.
it.
There's an interview. The interview comes out. I think it comes out on a magazine on Friday. It's an interview with Michael Keaton. And he was offered the role in... the third Batman.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah, Batman Forever. Yeah. I think it was, what, $15 million he was offered. But
that's high at that time. That
would have been real high.
But
Jim Carrey made more.
Yeah, he flat out told Schumacher, this is a piece of crap. And he said, I ain't doing it.
Well done, Michael Keaton.
I remember that, too. There was even around that time the buzz of he will only do it if Burton stays with the franchise.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't keep Burton because Burton himself didn't want to stay because
he
didn't have complete control, obviously, of the character, which makes sense. It's got a big history.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the same time, he was big on moving on to other things, and he really, at that time, wanted to do Superman as well, which that's kind of come to fruition, too. That documentary about that. Scary. Looking back at that one, too, you want to talk about bad decisions. Nick Cage. Kevin Smith wrote script. Tim Burton directed. Nick Cage is Superman with an electric suit, and like it's just not feeling that. And then who was it? Was it Chris Rock was going to be Olsen? Jimmy Olsen?
I think I heard that. Yeah,
really?
Chris Rock was going to be Olsen. Yeah, and who did you had? Brainiac was the villain, but who did they have cast? I can't even remember who it was for him. It was not, but it was just. And the concept art for Brainiac looked kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that mid-90s like special effects. So it looked good on paper. Not so sure it was going to translate over like a Jurassic Park or anything.
I trust Tim Burton.
Really?
Yes.
That was his Wild Wild West phase. And there was a lot of components. If you've ever watched An Evening with Kevin Smith, a number of components that Tim Burton came back to Smith with that script and said, you know what? We need like a giant spider in this. I want a giant mechanical spider. I want the. There was two or three things he went back to Kevin Smith. Now, this is according to Kevin Smith, said that he wanted. And when the movie fell apart and Smith said no in the first place, Wild Wild West came to be. And
there was a giant mechanical
spider. There
was spider.
Those things in that. And that was just a terrible movie. Which, by the way, another surprise
should've
casting
been good.
Right there.
Should have been good.
But not only that, another surprise casting for your lead character that actually did get some pushback. Simply for the fact that your Jim West in the original series was a white guy. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, but Will Smith can fill any shoes, in my opinion.
Yes.
Probably
in
most
so.
People's
yeah.
opinion. I know Aaron agrees with that one.
What?
Yeah, she's not even.
Thought I was going to
be dynamite drop in, Aaron. Dynamite drop
good
in.
Job.
Here, let's ask Tyler, what does he think about that?
Are we all quiet for 10 minutes and let him voice over? Right.
I usually am.
Right, we'll just dub him in later. That's fine.
We're going to have to add a lot of time to this
Say,
show.
Tyler, what's your opinion on this? Go. 3 hours later,
Tyler's not here to defend himself, so he is being made fun of.
9 episodes.
That's what good friends do, though. That's what good
it
friends
is.
When you're not here,
it
we
really
make fun
is.
Of you. But we're recording this.
Well, we make fun, but that's the thing. We make fun of people to their face, too. We're
right.
not. We're,
that's
we,
why
we would make those jokes.
That's why I'm here space. Every week because I just can't imagine what you guys are going to say about me.
Bob doesn't want the comments behind his back. Yes. He's like, at least they'll go easy on me when I'm here.
Yeah.
So we ran off with some old movies there, but yeah, Batfleck with the shirt.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I total bonus. I for one, I have
I
the one.
You were gonna say total boner. I no, just thought no. I'd say that.
Wow,
quick.
This
oh, there's number
reference.
Two.
That was funny.
No, that's not number two. We're already like four sexual oh. references.
I
in.
Mean, I did stare really hard at his pecs for a really long time.
He's rocking.
He looks.
He's
yeah,
solid.
He's looking good.
He looks big.
Whoa, did you see those biceps? Whoa,
he's solid. Was, and then you had mm-hmm. Jennifer Garner next to him. Goodness.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
Oh,
I don't
she's
even.
It just made me think of Elektra, and I got.
No, Elektra is gone from my memory. No.
What movie are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
That's like that was. I heard a rumor that there was going to be this Catwoman like 10 years ago. This Catwoman movie with Halle Berry. Too bad they never made it.
Yeah, that would have been. Could have been so good.
Too bad they never made it.
We know it sucks that women superheroes are totally not ever done justice.
They aren't. They aren't.
It's not their fault, right?
I for one, as a man, will stand behind that too. Butchered in those movies there. Thankfully, though, we are getting a huge call for it now because we're going to get a number of female movies. Finally deserved. However, poor Wonder Woman still is not getting any news.
The one who really should have her own movie.
Wonder Woman owns it. Like, she is
right.
the woman comic book character.
Right.
Like,
but
you
I
need
think
to give
that
it to her.
People don't understand. I mean, people are just now getting introduced on a mass scale into the comic book world. And so I think that people just don't realize how big of a part, you know, like, people don't realize how big of a role Huntress plays. People don't realize how big of a role Wonder Woman even plays. It's just all about Batman, Superman, Spider-Man in people's eyes.
But Aaron, you know, the thing is that, you know, Catwoman, what was it? Supergirl, Helen Slater. Remember that one?
Oh, I liked Supergirl.
I mean, those were pieces
but
of
I was a
crap.
Kid. I mean, what are you
those were flat out pieces of crap. And so
there's
no reason to get behind those movies.
You mean the movies?
The movies.
But
yeah.
that's
well,
the
yeah,
thing, because they didn't play any justice to the characters
exactly.
in the comics. And that's the problem. You will give Batman, you need something like a Christopher Nolan who reached to, you know, him and Goyer went after Frank Miller's inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Go get Frank Miller's written plenty about Catwoman. Go get that information
yeah.
from her. Strong story, too. There is so much good material out there, not only on Catwoman, but Supergirl. She's got some great arcs, some great graphic novels in over the past 20 years. Use that for the story.
But exactly. They have to stay with the stories, with established stories, and not just run off. And
you can change it enough. You did it. I mean, the Dark Knight trilogy did it.
Yeah, I mean, there can be some changes, but I mean, as long as they're just not stupid changes, like Catwoman. I admit I watched it.
I've never seen that movie. By the way, I've never seen it because I refuse to. I'm sorry. There is the Gotham female characters next to Wonder Woman are some of my favorite characters in the comic book industry, and that just looked terrible. And they totally, I'll put it out there, they totally slutted her up too.
Yeah, they
Catwoman is known for being sexy and things like
that. Now, if they would have taken Michelle Pfeiffer, taken that character.
Okay, I'm down for that Catwoman for
sure. Mm-hmm. If they would have taken that and put that into its own movie. Yeah. Definitely.
And that's what it was supposed to have.
That's what it should have been.
Yeah. See, Catwoman, to me, is seductive, not sexy or slutty or anything like that. She has the ability to...
entice.
Right, exactly.
There's some costumes that are definitely rocking like sexy appeal in the comics.
No. And I'm with that, but the
not quite
personality...
Right, like, it looked like four belts across her midsection.
Right, yeah. The personality is seductive, and that's the idea, is it doesn't matter what the costume is. It doesn't have to be a sexy, slutty costume because the personality is there. That's what pulls everybody in. I mean, that was the great play with Michael Keaton and Michelle Pfeiffer, was when she's Selina Kyle, it's okay. But when she's Catwoman, there's this obvious just click between them, and it was fantastic to watch on screen. Mm.
You could put it as we talk about, let's have Andrew Garfield be Batman and Emma Stone be Catwoman. Everybody will like it just because they have two in a movie together.
I would watch that.
Because we obviously...
But focus on her and then just have Batman pop in every now and again.
a young British Batman. So,
it'd be 200 pounds of justice.
200 pounds? Is he even 200 pounds?
Right.
No.
With his suit.
Oh, combined.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield combined.
Still might be coming up short there.
Probably about 180 pounds.
I was talking to somebody about a Wonder Woman movie because they said, well, what do you do? Where do you start? There have been, and more recently, some stronger origin stories for Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. I think you have a great arc. Her character is hilarious at times in some of those arcs when you bring her over. The animated film Justice League War did a really good job of capturing her, where she didn't know how to communicate with these people, so she's pointing swords at like the ice cream vendor. You, sir, give this young girl an ice cream cone, and things like that, and everybody is like scared of her because she doesn't understand that. That's hilarious.
That kind of intergalactic interplay like you get with Thor and stuff like that, where he just doesn't understand what's going on.
I'll have another, like, and throws the cup down.
Right.
Those were great. Those made that first Thor movie better than what anybody expected.
Right.
I can think of everybody I talked to. Nobody went into Thor thinking it was going to compare with some of the other Marvel movies that are coming out. Mm-hmm. And it's still maybe not as good as certain ones, but at the end you were like, it was actually a really good movie.
We drank, we fought, we made our ancestors proud. Yeah.
Things like that.
It was phenomenal.
You can do that now with a sexy woman. Like, that's perfect. I'm in.
Right.
And that's the other thing too. Wonder Woman is you've talked about it with Catwoman. Understand Wonder Woman's costume, you can give her better costumes that don't look like Xena and cover her up more, make her more combat ready or things like that. You can give her this powerful look and it still be, you know, towards that vintage, you know, Wonder Woman, like things of that nature. And we've talked about it before of how Wonder Woman embodies both the image of a woman for young male readers reading comics through those times, while at the same time embodying the powerful woman I am, you know,
able to stand up against Superman, Batman,
and she can
all of the villains. I mean, she could take all of them on. She could fight all of them. She has that ability.
You know what, Project Nerd, let's get this Wonder Woman.
Should we make
movie.
A script? Should
I want to
write a script.
Let's do it. Giant spiders.
You're out of there.
Electric Superman suits.
You're out of there.
And Val Kilmer is Batman. No,
I'm okay
George
with that.
George Clooney is Batman.
Nope. No. Out of there.
Okay. So, all right. So, on that note.
Can I be Wonder Woman, please?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd rather be Catwoman. Could I just be Catwoman?
Yeah, we need Catwoman in the Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Why is it taking us so long to get these characters
crossover?
Let's
have a man be Wonder Woman. Why not? Mm-mm. You know, just make it a man.
They'd call him Wonder Boy.
Oh, Tenacious D reference. That's never happened.
That automatically qualifies like a as a sexual first. Reference, by
Best
the way.
Best episode ever.
It's just the it's a sexual yep. reference.
Mm-hmm. You going to put that in the title? Tenacious yes. D, Wonder Woman.
Gave her the Tenacious D.
Oh. Okay.
Whoa.
Wow.
So, something we haven't covered yet, which we're all excited for, we're all going to Tallgrass Film Festival,
yay!
Wichita, Kansas, hooray! This weekend. We're talking about movies already now. I'm just going to shift us a little bit away from superhero side of things. Huge slate. We brought it up loosely last probably couple episodes.
What
I know
we
Bob...
48 films?
Bob hasn't stopped preparing for it. He said he's exhausted, and that's because he's spending 8 to 9 hours a day prepping for this festival. He's excited, as he should be. It's pretty exciting. Yeah, I think
it's
48
my carnival.
48 full-length features, and then another, I don't know how many. I think you're somewhere around 130 or so
something
total
like that.
With the short films.
Nice.
Added a couple more to the list here recently.
Mm-hmm.
Looking like a good show. A lot of good things going on.
There's really good short films. I mean, the ones that I saw last year were just, I mean, they stick with you. They're juicy tidbits. Of film.
One of my favorite films from last year was the short film there, and it opened up before Teddy Bears, which Teddy Bears was a surprisingly great movie for me. I really enjoyed it, but the short film before it was fantastic, so I'm going to agree with Aaron that the short films were fantastic.
And mm-hmm. they all matched up with the feature. Like, the short film that you watched before Teddy Bears, did it somehow correlate?
How do you go through 1,400 movies and make that happen is the question.
Beyond
like,
me.
I don't know.
And the thing is we know some people who didn't even get their films in that were really, really good, which is, it's upsetting that we don't get to see those films at Tallgrass, but then it's just like, man, holy crap, how perfect
we saw it
are
already.
The movies?
We'll write a review and say it was at Tallgrass anyways.
Tallgrass Film Festival. This movie was there. No, but seriously, like, the movies last year were outstanding. Like, it's mind-blowing that we're in the middle of the country in Kansas and these films are ridiculously good.
Now, I know it's been about 2 weeks since the rest of us have looked at the list, but Bob, what is the movie you're most looking forward to for that weekend?
I tell you, the movie I wish I could be there for is the one on Wednesday night.
The Life Itself.
Life
itself. But you've seen that. So
I've
what? It,
seen
so
that.
What in the stretch that we're going to be there, Friday through Sunday...
The one that
what
I'm
are
really...
you most excited for?
Wow. Gosh, there's so many. There's so many.
Zelda.
It's hard to... It's not, like you said, it's really...
That's a tough question.
You know, I think...
Do I play games?
Do.
What do I play?
Well, what about you? What about you, Iggy? Let me think.
I'm excited for Mood Indigo, to be honest.
Yeah.
Since Draft House has announced they've acquired that title and they've shared the trailers for it, I am thrilled for that movie. It has the very much a modern day look to certain things, aspects of it, of some fun, quirky movies I've enjoyed. However, paying very good homage to Tati, classic French cinema that was just hilarious with very little dialogue. Just a lot of great context to it. I'm really looking forward to Mood Indigo.
Hmm. I didn't know about this one. I don't really remember all of the ones that I was looking at because of, you know.
Well, I said it's been a couple weeks since.
There's tons of movies that have been coming out recently that are also really good.
Bob has an entire binder.
Yes.
Movie's description printed out in there?
I think one of the movies I was really kind of.
Bob, hold on. Before you answer, I need to know, is every movie's description printed out in your binder right now?
Yeah.
Okay. What were you going to say?
I tell you, the movie I was really kind of interested in seeing was Rudderless. Like, we kind of talked about when we were looking originally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they actually pulled it.
They moved it to, it was It was pulled from Saturday.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Able to find it where it's in on the schedule.
Oh, I don't know. They replaced it with, because there was the one that won... Did it win at Sundance? Yeah, so one, I guess it was a late entry that had won, so they're kind of like, yeah, we can't pass this one up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bounced in there and replaced, and it must have replaced.
I think it did, because, yeah, I can't find Rudderless at all.
Oh, poor Bob. He's going to have to stick with another dozen movies. for the weekend.
I think it's going to be kind of interesting as they have, I think it was the 31 and the, was it the 31 and the 1939 version of the Maltese Falcon?
I know. So
I'm
what's,
excited
what's
about
the
that,
middle
actually,
one called?
Yes.
It's not even called the Maltese Falcon.
It
runs in between them. So if you have the schedule there.
Yeah, let me go back a few pages here.
And then what are we watching Friday night? Why can't I remember the name of it?
That's the James Franco one. I don't remember the title of it either.
No, is that the one at 7?
No, that's...
Saturday night, the lesbian vampire one? Is
no,
that the one
no,
the
that one.
One.
No.
I'm excited
Kira Kurosawa.
Yeah, Kurosawa.
Oh, Yojimbo?
Yeah, that's it.
yeah, Yojimbo, but Yojimbo also runs with, what's the other? Because he has a partner movie for
A Few
it.
Dollars More?
No, or, well, that's because if A Few Dollars More is based off of it. There was Yojimbo comes with, I have, it always comes in like a two-pack.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I couldn't remember either. Because
what's
oh
A Few
gosh.
Dollars More, what's the other Western that runs with A Few Dollars More? There's, is it A Fistful of Dollars?
I think so.
Is that the other one? So it's the equivalent to that one.
Right.
And it sucks that they don't have both of those. I went to try to scratch my eye through my glasses. That didn't work too well. But
dollars,
too bad
yeah.
we don't have video.
I'm excited to see that.
So actually, I think the one I'm actually kind of interested in seeing was the James Franco film, Child of God.
Child of God. So that one's on Friday night, late at 9:45.
Yeah.
So that one's, James Franco wrote, direct, stars.
Is he going to be there?
No.
You never know.
He could show up.
That guy could show up.
He and Seth Rogen were out in the woods naked last weekend or something like that.
What the
frick? You didn't hear about that?
Are they in love with each other for real?
I don't know.
Probably.
They were out. They were out.
I'm in love with them. I've never even met.
They were running around in the woods naked.
I would like to.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Our Saturday night thriller is The Ladies of the House.
Oh, yeah.
That's also probably going to be pretty good.
That one's going to be fun.
That one's, it'll probably be. I'm expecting it to be hilariously, like, awesomely bad.
Oh, yeah.
I love the
Ladies of the House, the vampire porn?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I'm excited about that one. Can we all go see that together?
Yes.
Probably.
We'll all go to vampire porn.
The one that I'm most excited about for my coverage is, besides Mood Indigo, is the Dark Valley. That one's Saturday. But then, Satan Met a Lady is the one in between the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah.
So that was the three adaptations of the book, The Maltese Falcon. Of course, the last of the three starring Humphrey Bogart. But I didn't even know there was the first two. This is something like I take pride in knowing that stuff. I always know like, oh, there's, you know, The Adventures of Robin Hood with Flynn. Like, there's always these original ones that I know about. Like,
right.
How many Mutiny on the Bounty? That's been made three times. By the third time was by the time you finally got Marlon Brando in it. These types of things are like, and The Maltese Falcon with Humphrey Bogart is one of Bogart's best films, easily. I haven't read the book.
You can remove Bogart from that.
And it's still
is one of the best films.
That's true. And I didn't even know there was two versions of it before that.
Right.
Awesome. So
it's exciting.
Maybe doing some research Friday on that one.
Bob's like, obviously. Did you know that already, Bob?
What?
That there were that many Maltese Falcons?
No, I did not.
He was shocked too. That's what it was.
Oh, it's that special.
Yeah, it's awesome. And they're showing them three in a row. Like, if I didn't have a responsibility to get some reviews done, that's what I would be doing all day Friday, is those three.
Well, yeah, you are.
Oh, show.
Well, you're seeing one movie in between, within all those three movies there.
No, I think Mood Indigo,
doing The Salvation.
But are they done by time Mood Indigo goes?
Blah, 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 blah.
I think you could have watched the 41. Bogart's.
Mood Indigo is, get this in front of my face here.
No, I'm watching Mood Indigo on Friday. They're color-coded, Bob. It's color-coded.
I know.
Don't question Bob. He's got pages inside
blue
of sheet protectors.
Okay, yeah, Mood Indigo is
this
after
is
the,
for all of you that have spent years making fun of my spreadsheets of stuff, Bob now has my spreadsheets in a binder, screen-protected right now. I'm just pointing that out. Thank you very much.
Bob, shut up.
I was saying you're welcome. You're welcome for me doing my crazy spreadsheets.
Well, this is so I can see where I'm going, and I still don't know where I'm going. Mood Indigo actually is after the all three Maltese Falcons.
Okay.
Well, that's like at 5 o'clock.
I might need to stretch some because I might be doing some
there's
hardcore marathon.
You could do some yoga.
Some yoga now.
Yoga stretches. They're doing the massage chairs.
I'll do the massage chairs, but I'm not doing yoga. So, Of course,
I'll get a good rub down and a yoga.
Whoa.
Both of those things.
So, of course, Aaron and Laura will be, well, they'll be reviewing a couple of movies as well, but they will be spending a lot of time in the VIP lounge with the directors and
yoga.
Film creators, not doing yoga, but getting interviews, actually.
Laura's going to go all crazy there.
Yeah, hopefully.
A little column A, a little column B.
No, that's that's the problem. We're going to get the camcorder back to edit stuff, and it's going to be like of them doing yoga.
Me, I'm in
as long as you're doing yoga with film directors?
Are they?
Yes. I think that would be cool.
I think
we're
going to interview them while they're doing yoga.
We're going to get
in position.
They're going
to
be
James Franco. To do
if James Franco was
I think
there,
he
totally
would do
doing
that.
Yoga.
Yes.
Hey, can I,
and he would do a yoga interview.
Oh,
I'm
going
to get on the Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Twitter him.
Tweet him right now.
Get to Wichita.
Come to Wichita.
Come to Wichita this weekend.
There.
Mark Covino would probably do yoga interview with you.
Right. We got
hey, Mark.
That guy's totally crazy.
Hope you're listening to
yoga
this.
Yoga instructor coming
but
with us.
On Friday night.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the guests. The guests that are going to be there, too. A lot of good people there.
Yeah, so 50 filmmakers and directors and creators and producers and all that stuff, so good list.
And our friends at Alamo Draft House will be there, too.
Oh, will they? From Kansas City?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm not sure if they're from Kansas City. I think it's actually from corporate.
Oh, really?
Sweet.
Is Tim Lee going to be there? Doubt it. I don't know.
If you would be like...
I might. You know, most people...
He would nerd out on
no,
Tim.
No, most people go bananas about... actors and celebrities and stuff like that. Like Bob freaks out.
Steve Amell.
Yeah, Bob freaks out. But you give me somebody like Tim League who that is my passion to be like, I would love to own a film company, post, you know, art and record label company and a badass movie theater company.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Oh, I stopped by the Draft House. I was in Kansas City this weekend.
You don't have to talk about it.
Stopped by the Draft House.
What'd you do?
Saw Annabelle.
Oh. What a waste of a Draft House visit.
There's one, no such thing, Bob.
That's true.
Two, I mean, I like horror movies. I like The Conjuring. I thought it was fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good movie. It's all right.
You sound a little defensive.
I know.
Well, because Bob,
he's trying to prove to himself that it was a good movie.
Yeah, I'm defending my price to tickets to myself.
See, and I was thinking about it. I would probably, it's closer to... So if you're a Conjuring fan, go see it
because it
kind of touches on some of that same stuff. But if you liked Insidious, it's closer to that. So I think it had some good parts to it.
Supposedly Insidious is a popular one in your
it is.
Insidious
community.
is incredible.
Yeah, Insidious is a very good movie.
In this horror community that you're a part of, you
right.
whores.
Whores. And that's the thing. So, it's not going to set the world ablaze. It's not changing horror film or anything like that.
Can we be clear? Are you saying horror or hua?
Whores.
Horror.
Whores.
Hua.
It's going to be some nice vibrations in everybody's ears.
Horror. Yeah, no, so it's a good movie. If you haven't seen it and you're interested in it, it's October.
Horror.
Go see a horror movie, kids.
Horror.
Or just get out to a Halloween party.
Can we stop saying horror?
No. I will not. Go see a scary movie. There you go, Aaron.
What kind of scary
it's
movie?
Jenny
I don't Jacoby watch those things.
From Draft House.
Okay.
You know, there was a review on Project Nerd it's on Project Nerd, right? And it's called Cannibal. And it sounds really interesting. And it sounds like it's kind of a scary movie. And I want to watch it. It's about this guy who eats up, like, women.
I think I've heard
dates really hot, sexy ladies and then kills them and chops them up and eats them.
I like the first part. Dates really hot, sexy ladies. It sounds like my type of thing.
It sounds super disturbing. I don't know. You should probably read the review. On
so, Adam, what other movies were playing at the Draft House?
So, you want to know what I didn't go see?
What did you pass up on? And I can't get it up.
Wow.
What just happened?
My cord was falling.
And Bob's having some ED over there. Right in the middle of the podcast. So, Adam, if we can get back on topic.
Wow. Okay.
You know, we didn't look at anything else, Bob. That was what the wife and I wanted to go see. And one of our friends, Gone Girl, was there. Yeah, I'm sure that was there. Anything that's on the theaters, I'm sure was there. I mean, not anything. They got six screens there. So
and they're usually doing special screenings.
What was their special screening?
What was their late night show for this past weekend?
Yes,
I don't know.
Didn't
look at
me.
It.
Don't tell me because I think we confirmed before October even rolled in that
yeah,
every late night
they're all going to be awesome.
Was something
right.
we wanted.
Yeah, no, we didn't. Well, and that was the thing. We had a very we had a set window and a very set budget, so we didn't look at anything else because we were only going to be able to see one, and that's what we wanted to see. So we went and saw Annabelle.
Speaking of, we missed the sing along for the
I know
best little horror shop. In Texas.
Well, best little horror shop in Texas.
Oh, wait. Horror sorry. House? I'm combining
Little
my
Shop
movies.
Of Horrors yes, or Best Little Horror House in Texas.
I was combining the two. That would be an awesome combination, by the way.
Yeah.
Could you just imagine, like, talking plants chasing naked
Dolly
men
Parton.
Out of the rooms? Come in with that deep voice, too.
No. Come here, sugar.
Yeah. Feed me now.
Yeah. I need to watch that. We still are. We were supposed to. I don't know. It was supposed to be last Friday, I think, because we're like occupied every Friday.
Well, I was
going to
say, we're kind of screwed now.
Yeah, there's no. We could watch it the first week of November and still count it.
Do you have
for
it?
For our back to back. Yes. I got the Digibook version of it.
Oh, okay.
You so. Wait, Bob, you don't own that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I was going to say, wait, Bob doesn't own a I own a movie Bob doesn't own?
No.
This is crazy.
No, just definitively no.
How's that Peggle game, Aaron?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, anyways, Tallgrass Film Festival,
mm-hmm.
pretty excited. Number of good films there. Check it out. If you're not sure about it, or for many of you, you probably can't make it all the way to Wichita by today, because this airs on Friday. Definitely check out our reviews. We've got plenty of reviews coming to you over the next couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully a number of interviews, too, depending on how much yoga time is spared.
And if you see us, I mean, what are we gonna be? What are we gonna be wearing? What are
hopefully
we
our polos? I need to call in about that. By the way, need to call in because I don't know where my polos are.
Where are my pillows?
Polos.
But anyways, if you see us,
Andrew Garfield as Batman. Alfred, where are my polos?
But if you see Alfred, us, you know, chap. Say hi to us. Aaron and Laura will be.
I'll be doing
kicking
some yoga.
In the VIP lounge.
Chilling
during the Bloody Mary.
If they're gonna, wait, if they're gonna be rocking, they're gonna
totally
be rocking
be
like
that.
Totally
good
looking
apple teenies
dresses and skirts and doing yoga. I guess we could stick around.
I don't know. I'm gonna be in my new dresses and stuff. Yep.
Hey, are we going anywhere next week?
Probably.
Who do you want to answer that one? I will be going to bed sometime in there. No, we'll be heading to Rocky Mountain Con, of course, the comic convention in
Rocky
Mountain
Con. I
tried
to segue.
Good segue there, yeah. Bob.
Is it? Hold on.
I didn't even do it, Adam. Don't give me that look. It was all Bob again. Bob is the one who's been totally. Bob's been like on it, by the way, with the total ED jokes and if it was a joke and the segue remarks and stuff. Hey, I was just making a joke about ED.
ED
is
not a joke.
Matter.
No, never mind. I didn't say that.
ED is as serious as another disease that we were not allowed to talk about on this episode. So,
don't you even.
But
I didn't. So Rocky Mountain Con in Denver, Colorado, October 25th and 26th. Was that?
Something
Saturday
like that.
Summer? Yes, that's the correct dates.
That's the correct dates?
Yes.
We'll have a full team there. We have our booth. We have a photo booth. And then, of course, Erin Leigh will be over in the cosplay area with her cosplay booth.
Man, I heard she's really hot.
Wow. Well conceited.
I've seen her Assassin's Creed
outfit. Not really.
Outfit.
No, but seriously, can I share something real quick?
Share away.
No, I don't want to. Never mind.
Oh.
I just gave up.
You
guys gave me that weird look. Like
what?
I
said share away.
No, but I didn't even look at you. By the time
you
gave up,
all
I hadn't even looked at you.
It's all your fault. Okay, should I tell it?
Yes.
Really?
Please do.
Okay, unless we're getting ready to wrap it up soon.
No,
we have like a half hour left.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
And
the other day, it's a good topic.
Tyler's not here.
It's a great topic to talk about because here's what happened. See, the other day I was twitching, right?
Twitching. Streaming video games.
Okay, thank you.
Streaming video games. And this kid, I don't know who it is, but like I'm sitting there playing and somebody leaves a comment that says, you're too hot to be a gamer, and then signs out. And it was like,
probably
first
George.
Of all, holy cow, that's really sweet and awesome. I can't believe someone just said that about me because that's just silly. But I just think it's hilarious that like, I don't know. What does that even mean?
There is a new fake geek girl
you,
meme
you
that's
think
online that is
I think it's
hilarious
that someone called you a gamer.
That just kind of...
Have they watched her play?
That's what she said. They signed in and signed out real quick.
I loved it. I freaking loved it. I'm obsessed with Destiny.
There is a new fake geek girl meme out that is a little like kind of webcomic thing that is actually really great. And it's funny because it shows the panel and it shows... The first panel is the overweight geek guy reading a comic book, and then it shows her reading a comic book. The next panel shows him reading the comic book, shows her on the computer, and it says, like, research on the screen. The next panel shows him reading a comic book. It shows her sewing a costume. Next panel shows him reading a comic book. It shows her, like, trying to squeeze into the costume. And then it says later that day at the convention, and it shows him pointing at her saying, fake geek girl, you don't even put in the time to understand these characters and know about the comics. I was like, yeah, that's about right.
That's about right, yeah.
For those that can't tell by now or haven't seen everything else we've shared, Project Nerd is definitely against the term even fake geek girl. I think it's ridiculous. Stand behind the concept. If she's put the time in to build that costume, she's obviously geeky enough. So, but
well, it's so stupid and counterintuitive because I don't know. Like, I feel kind of ashamed because about a year ago there was this, or 2 years ago on Portlandia there was this commercial called like a PSA about nerds. And it was sort of making fun of that idea where this girl's like, you know, I don't know. I'm just like really into video games and like I wear these glasses now because I just feel like they're so much more comfortable than my contacts. And I'm just kind of a nerd. And then this typical like the guy from The Simpsons
like,
comes on.
I'm pasty white.
Comic book
I'm
guy.
Afraid
yeah.
to go
comic
out.
Book,
he goes,
he's like
I'm
a,
pasty
a
white because I'm
man.
Afraid to go out and associate with people. And I sit inside and play video games.
He's
all
like,
day.
You're not really a nerd. Unless you're super socially awkward like me. And it's like, are you kidding me? But anyway.
That's not true. Being a nerd is
cool.
All about loving something.
That's what Project Nerd's definition as nerd is that you're nerding out about something. You're
right.
Crazy about
if you love
something.
It enough to put in any amount of effort, and it's certainly building a costume qualifies as any amount
of
effort.
I would say so.
And if anything,
have you seen what people have put into building those costumes?
Yeah. The community is just more inclusive than ever, and it's always been about being, you know, inclusive. And then suddenly, there's more people in it. And I'm sorry, but in the mainstream world, it's still not cool to be a nerd, no matter how you look at
well,
it.
Well, and you see it happen with music and all sorts of stuff. When you have your thing and nobody else likes it, and then that thing gets huge and everybody else starts liking it, there's that. This is mine. You don't get to have this.
I think I don't know. That's hard because in the music industry, I wouldn't say it's that. It's now I have to hear this all the time, and I've already been listening to it for 6 months.
Right.
It's both of those things.
I don't know. I disagree. I'm fine with people like I'm fine with stuff getting mainstream, but then I'm like, okay, because I overplay music when I'm into it. Mm-hmm. I do. It drives everybody around me crazy.
Yes,
so
it
I
does.
Do that for. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. I do that for 6 months, and then now that everybody else is into that song, that all of a sudden it's like, and that's a common occurrence for those that have satellite radio. And I'm not saying it like I'm in this exclusive club because there's millions of people now that have satellite radio, but they do play things considerably earlier than
right.
what gets on to.
Yeah.
So you hear it, and you hear it just like a normal radio station. They play it. Often,
but there's
it's
also
in their
the
loop,
hit, the
and then all of a sudden,
phenomenon
you,
like what Adam was mentioning, because that's definitely
there
real.
Is, but everybody, you know, those are hipsters. They're always
no, but
be.
It, but it's not even just hipsters.
They're always
they're
too
the,
cool for too cool for school.
They're
the
those
phenomenon.
People that have that friend there or that know a band. They know the people in the band, and that's their band. And they go and they see them 3 or 4 times a show, or 3 or 4 times a year, because they only play shows locally and close. And so they go see those people, and then all of a sudden, that band catches a label. And starts touring and gets big and doesn't play 3 or 4 local shows anymore. And those people get upset.
That's funny. It always reminded me of the chat board back for the Toadies. And the one guy was like, I would love for the Toadies just to always play in these small venues, local shows all the time. And the one guy from the Toadies even responded and goes, well, you know, we would love to actually make some money doing this.
Right,
like
exactly.
We'd actually like to get bigger and do some big shows. So it was funny because even the band member responded.
Yeah. But it feels like people are fighting back against everyone else. You know, it's okay that somebody who likes sports, I love sports. It's okay for me to also.
We like sports. Yes, we do.
Right. It's okay for me to also be totally into comics
Lonely
or
Island.
Totally into
yeah,
video games
like
or anything like that.
Sports nerds. You're nerds.
Adam was
that's
liking,
okay.
Adam no, liked but, Florida State before it was cool.
But there are
were they
before they
I'm
lost
just
to
saying,
Notre Dame?
Like you know, there's a level of I like sports, and then there's like you and Iggy, and you guys are like.
No, but there would be sports. No, there's there are sports there guys who probably know statistics from their favorite team back 20 years.
Yeah.
Like hardcore baseball statistics. And these people wouldn't never be considered nerds in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
They have, well, but they don't have, you know, they're not the typical nerd. I think they're nerds because, again, our definition is you have to love something intensely. And that's
so hard.
And they do.
So intensely.
But you know, in mainstream culture, they were probably a baseball player. They were on, you know, their high school baseball team. They were popular kids and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That was popular kid.
Yeah.
Do you even fan, bro?
Uh-huh. Do you even popular, bro? So, I don't even know what you want to talk about. We should have kept track of that chart because we have.
That would have been a
started,
good one.
You know,
it started with Aaron's coming up with that fake game girl thing.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. All I her was, fault. I've been thinking about it a lot because, you know, like, I don't know. There's just been these things on like BuzzFeed where, you know, these female cosplayers shared the weirdest thing that was ever said to them. And then Yahya Khan.
Weren't that bad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, Yahya Khan had a
Yahya
very
Han
bad experience.
Yahya Khan shared that bad experience. But, you know, I'm so glad that she finally did. It's such a weird world, this cosplay and the geek girl world. And it's just weird.
The problem is, and we've covered this before, we talked about it because we were there to experience a few things at Dragon Con and stuff. We were just talking about the number of people that show up to these events. There's a good portion of them that don't understand that geek community, that respect that geeks have for other geeks. That's not in the rest of the world. It isn't. I don't care if you're listening to this and you're not a geek, then and I'm offending you. I'm sorry. It's truth. That overall respect.
It's like the code of chivalry.
Yeah, it's there in the geek community.
Nerddom.
You LARP. And you play under the impression that I got stabbed with a foam sword. I am now dead. I will lay on the ground for the next 2.5 hours.
Right, till we're
because
done.
Because I am dead. That's like, you don't, like that's the type of stuff. That's like you said, chivalry. And we've opened this door to where now 150,000+ people are at a convention for the weekend. They're going to be people that I don't want to say they don't belong there because they probably nerd out about something.
Sure.
However, they're new to this environment. They've had that what's a good comparison for white privilege? They've had that non-geek privilege. So like they've had
that cool kid privilege. Yeah,
they've had that privilege to where they could walk around being the cool kids in high school and make comments and everybody joked. And not only that too, there's a number of communities that are crossing over now. Esmeralda Von Katz says it best. She's very involved in the Renaissance Fair world. Like that's her starting her theater Renaissance Fair. So this cosplay community, she doesn't get offended when she hears these comments because it's these group of drunks that have always just made fun and made comments at each other. And now all these communities are crossing. You have these outsiders coming in that don't know how to mesh well with it. And it's, so I think it's popping up more and more than it ever has before, not making an excuse for it, just an explanation. However, I agree, it needs to stop. At the same time, it's one of those things that, and I think I've said it before, like, why is this even a conversation? Like, people shouldn't be, I don't care what it, and to make sure that it doesn't sound like I'm defending it, I don't care what culture or whatever you come from, you don't grab Yahya Khan's ass as you're walking by her on the streets of New York.
What avenue in your life have you ever been able to walk up to a total stranger and
hand a cheek?
Right, and just
nope.
Grab them physically.
No. Nope.
Or
not allowed.
Accost them because you don't like the t-shirt they're wearing. Like, where is this okay to do that these people think that they can continue to do it? Like, that's the thing that you're dead on that I've never understood. Like, oh, you know, my parents would, I mean, they never beat me, but they would.
Oh, no,
they probably would, right? Yeah,
my mom
would
have
never
beat
do that.
Me,
right? If I ever did, though, I mean, if I walked up to a girl, my mom watched me walk up to a girl I didn't know in a public place and grab her.
My mom watched me walk up to a girl I knew and grab her like that. She would tear me apart. Right. What are you talking about? So I don't know, and I didn't want to sound like I was defending it. What I was trying to defend is that this is not necessarily a culture that's always had this big of a problem there. And I think the reason why it's such a big thing right now is because it's something new that it's having to be dealt with. And that's why it's everywhere. So definitely not defending it, but it's something that I think as this grows, people need to use it. You just need to use common sense.
Well, there's
really.
Exactly. There's a different part of it too. Like, okay, so I'm going to make a movie reference here with the movie Juno.
Yes, movie reference.
No, seriously. You know, in Juno,
we need like a thing that comes in and goes movie reference.
Yep. So in Juno, she makes this.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Apologize.
So the reference to the geek girl and the jock's weird obsession with the geek girl. Like, you take this nice, perfect, neat girl who's got her little cardigan on and her blonde hair, and then suddenly you like punk her out and make her all goth, and then suddenly they imagine that she's some kind of weird twisted freak in bed. Right?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the plot of She's All That?
She's All That, yeah.
Well,
I don't know about the bed part.
In reverse? Oh.
No, but that's part I truly believe. And
no,
because
in Juno,
the
football player had a thing for her or whatever, if mm-hmm. I remember correctly.
She was just, you know, nonchalantly like, oh, he wants to have sex with me and it's because of this. And then there was that whole visual aid thing. But I think that when men, which is why, I mean, women all the time, you know, they model, they get in bikinis and things like that. But, oh, she's dressed up like a superhero. Well, that's like a fetish thing. She's dressing in costumes. That's like, so all these guys or girls think.
Well, there's the school teacher, the secretary, the whatever fantasy, the suit and glasses and stuff like that, hair up. And it's like, what happens when that hair comes down?
Or you see someone dressed as Harley Quinn. Oh, well, she's. Harley Quinn's a friggin' nutball. She definitely would be crazy.
I wouldn't want anything to do with Harley Quinn in bed. I'm telling you.
No, but you know what I mean?
No.
people who are that.
I know. I'm just making.
Brand new to the nerddom. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness you wouldn't. But because she'd probably like pound you with her hammer. Like, and never mind.
The back end.
In your window? Yeah. In your
she
window?
She would do things
in
to you that
your
wouldn't be
window.
Pleasant.
In somebody's window.
But some of these people think it would be fun. There's, you know what I mean. It's just that over-sexualizing women thing going on.
Now, just that little thing.
Now I know we're out of. Never mind. Now my whole joke's gone. I was gonna say now I know we're out of time, but Erin has dropped her phone, so we need to record a whole nother episode where we actually have her engaged. But she reached down to pick it up, so unfortunately, we did have you for these last 10 minutes. Though.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
That was very good, Erin.
You must have died hard at Peggle.
Man, you guys don't even care.
You must have lived free and died hard in Peggle. Did you die hard with a vengeance in Peggle, or did you just
or die harder?
Did you?
How many?
Harder?
How many you got? Keep going.
what was the name of Die Hard 4?
Your face, Die Hard.
Was that Live Free or Die Hard?
That was in 5.
A Good Day to Die Hard.
A Good Day to Die Hard.
Just,
that was
just
5.
Just go check on the movie shelf.
I don't
there.
Know. Yes, yeah. Yes, we own them all. Back off.
There's nothing wrong with that.
The Die Hards are fantastic.
Thank you.
Even the newer sequels are somewhat fun.
I haven't seen those ones.
So. The fourth one, actually. The fifth one.
Fourth one I like.
Timothy Oliphant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a win.
I'm sorry. This is what you need to do. You need to give me the fourth one. But go back to the unrated or rated R like the fifth one did.
Right.
And then you got
you got
a level of the early
ones.
Oh,
yeah. Man, yeah.
The problem is they made the fourth one PG-13, so you lose a lot of what you have from McLean.
See, I remember the fourth one because they take down a plane with a car?
No, helicopter with the cop car. And Justin Long goes, you just took down a helicopter with a cop car. Yeah. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. And?
I was out of bullets. That's what he says. Yeah, I was out of bullets.
So the only reason you didn't like the fourth one as much is because it didn't say yippee-ki-yay, mother...
You know, I don't have to have language in my movie, but when you've spent 3 movies establishing...
That's John McClane.
Yeah,
but
John
McClane. But he said yippee-ki-yay, mother...
No,
it's like going to an Expendables and the first two are rated R and the third one is PG-13.
Yeah, see, I haven't even seen the third one yet.
What was the third one PG-13? Yeah.
It's actually exactly
gotta
like
get that audience. Gotta get that audience.
Oh yeah, and they really did boom, this boom, time. Boom, yeah, whatever.
Whoops. You know, I'm probably sure it's really popular among like fifth grade boys.
We actually probably made a bad decision.
Actually, it wasn't popular amongst any.
Well, no, because they have no frame of reference. They haven't seen the first two, so. They're missing.
They're missing all
of those jokes, right? Yeah, they haven't seen Predator. They haven't seen Die Hard. They haven't seen.
What's so big deal about this Wesley Snipes guy?
Right.
Yeah. Although I do need to see the third one because Mel Gibson's the villain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to see it.
Which,
by the way, I'm a little upset.
Blue?
Two quick things because now they're making fun of himself. I'm a little upset that that Robert Downey Jr. didn't stand behind his threat to Marvel. He said he would only do more Iron Man movies if they let Mel Gibson direct.
I thought it was Howard Stern.
No, Mel Gibson.
Oh.
Yeah.
He wanted Mel Gibson to direct. He'd do an Iron Man movie for. But he's brought on... Because I think he knew they would never ask him to direct. But he's doing more movies. Money talks. The other thing is the making fun of oneself.
Well.
So one thing I do want to... I want to wrap us up with a reference to something going on this week again.
Wrap it up.
New South Park. Lord, however.
Lord.
So... There's the new South Park episode has Lord in it, and she's like this over-the-top singer that's just terrible and has this terrible song that everybody loves and they can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out Lord was actually the one who sang the Lord song, making fun of Lord in the episode South Park. So kudos to you, young lady. I think she's probably, 18 or 19 now?
Yeah.
She was 17. She was 17 when Royals came out, and that was last year, right?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Was that last year or were we 2 years
last
now?
Year.
That was last year.
So, yeah, she's 18 now. So kudos to her because she went on South Park, made fun of her.
She's in on the joke.
That's the best. That's like one of the best things I've heard about South Park. You know, a guest star on South Park since the George Clooney thing in first season.
Yeah,
he played the gay dog. That was the best one. And the best part about it is that George Clooney his agent called them and wanted to be in South Park because it was blowing up, and they said, "Well, this is the only role we'll offer." And then George Clooney goes, "Okay, yeah, let's
I'll do it.
Let's do it." So that was pretty fun too. Yeah. So.
And since you brought up Royals, I'm going to go ahead and say go Royals.
Okay, they might be done by the time this is aired.
They might be done.
You got
that would be phenomenal.
Three games because you're gonna lose your night off, so you'll have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
All they got to do is take two of those three.
Two out of three.
I don't know.
Probably in extra innings.
Okay. Any closing notes from anybody?
Notes.
We're gonna wrap it up on a rough one here.
Let's we'll see.
Rough. This was phenomenal.
Any good movies this weekend? Oh yeah, that's right. We're at the
tons of good
48
movies.
48 good movies.
Yeah,
and you will have a number of those reviews to check out on Project Nerd over the next couple weeks. Of course, as always, we have so many fantastic listeners. Not making this up. I check the numbers. You all are great. However, we do want to hear more from you. I know you can't see us on Facebook anymore because only two of you actually see our posts. Thank you, Facebook. Yeah, I'll throw in that jab there. But if you do see us on there or just navigate to our page, of course, wherever you're listening to this, unless it's on iTunes, then you're actually going to have to go somewhere. But our website, our Podbean page, our social media, project-nerd.com. Don't spell out the dash, just put in the hyphen in between project and nerd. Of course, leave us a comment, ask us some questions, let us know, you know, what you thought about Annabelle, Gone Girl, what maybe you know that's going on, Tallgrass Film Festival, Rocky Mountain Con, and of course, your thoughts on the female superheroes and Wonder Woman's, and of course, all of the fake geek girl and cosplay is not consent drama, because that's what it is, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Dismiss it with that word, but it is that. So, definitely, until next week. Well, there'll be at least four of us, maybe five of us. I don't know. I think only four of us because I think we're recording at Tallgrass. So until next week.
Well, there will be five of us then.
I guess so, Laura.
And then maybe we'll have
Tyler's
guesties.
Replacement. I will see. We'll see. If we have enough interviews, we may just throw them all into an episode, save me some time on the editing side.
Woo-hoo. No, we got to give you some work.
I got two shows in a row. We got two weekends of events in a row here. We got some work we need to roll into, combine some efforts here. So either way, as I was saying, until
wrap
next,
it up.
Yes.
Yeah. Tyler, do you have anything to say?
We will catch you next week on another episode of the Nerdcast.